Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Ben, for that very warm introduction. Wherever you might be tuning from, we're just so grateful that you can join us this morning. And I hope your heart is prepared. I hope you're ready for the word that we have for you this morning. Just before we get into the word, I just felt to pray for people specifically who might be feeling a sense of loss right now. Now, I understand that because of the challenging time that we are in, that some of us have lost finances as a result of losing jobs or lost opportunities and maybe business opportunities. Some people are just missing, the loss of missing contact. So there is this loss of contact and maybe it's a loss of momentum as you were seeking to do really well in your studies this year. I just want to remind us of an amazing story, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, a man by the name of Jacob, who experienced heartbreaking loss. And if you know his story, he has 12 sons and his second youngest son is a boy by the name of Joseph at 17 years of age, and if you know the story, he was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, but his brothers lied to their father Jacob and said that he'd been killed by wild animals, and so Jacob is grieving this loss, and the Bible actually says that it nearly kills him. Years pass by, and life goes on, and unbeknownst to them, Joseph now is running the nation of Egypt. He is the governor of Egypt. And so there comes that point where, his brothers come looking for food, and Joseph reveals himself to them. And they are amazed. They are amazed that it's their brother. But Joseph, he says those immortal words, what you meant for evil, God has meant for good. And even in this season, the things that are happening all around us, it may seem like it's evil. It may seem like it's terrible and all of those things. But I'm telling you that God is still able to work things out in our favor and fulfill his purpose. Well, news travels back to Jacob, and the brothers come back and they say, not only is Joseph alive, but he is running the nation of Egypt. And the Bible says that Jacob's heart stops. It literally stops. And he looks out and he realizes that what they've said is true, because Joseph has sent like a caravan of camels with supplies and all of that. And the Bible says that his spirit revives. His spirit revives and he goes to Egypt, reunites with his son Joseph. And this is the powerful thing. Jacob lost Joseph when Joseph was only 17 years old. The Bible says that even in his old age, God allowed Jacob to live another 17 years. God allowed him to live another 17 years. And then right near his death, Joseph brings his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to his father Jacob to bless them. And Jacob says to his son, he says, I never ever thought that I would see your face again, yet God has allowed me to see the faces of your two sons. God is a restorer. God is a mender. God is a healer. And I just feel that for anyone who is watching this right now and you are feeling like you have lost a lot of things, you've lost momentum, you've lost time, you've lost the opportunity to host events and things like that that you had planned, God is a restorer of all things. God can make a way even when we don't see a way. And if he can do it for Jacob, he can do it for you. Amen. So I really just felt to pray that for us this morning. And so, Father, I just pray for your people, Lord God, every single person who is grieving right now or is struggling or is going through a sense of fear and anxiety, Lord God, whatever the emotion is as a result of loss, maybe it's a loss of freedom, maybe it's the loss of being able to do the things that you felt called to do at the beginning of this year. I want to tell you that just like he restored those years to Jacob, he will restore those years to you, and he will do what you wouldn't even have imagined. Jacob never even imagined that he would see his son again, and yet God allowed him to see not only his face, but his offspring as well. He's a good God. Well, If you've been with us for the past few weeks, you would know that Pastor Ben has been taking us through a series out of the book of Philippians called Triumph Through Tough Times. And, you know, this amazing series talks about how, you know, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the Philippians and encouraging them. And he's doing all of these things, and he's sitting in a Roman prison cell. And he is encouraging them. This book of the Bible is only four short chapters, and yet the word joy and rejoicing and this theme is throughout this book. And that tells me that it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, it doesn't matter where you presently find yourself in, what is happening around you doesn't have to impact what's happening on the inside of you. And so the Apostle Paul is writing this, and he is explaining several different keys just to be able to triumph and overcome those times when we might be struggling or we might be going through hardship. And I just want to continue on that particular theme. And it is important to know that, you know, the Apostle Paul is writing this from a place of isolation. He's in a place where he has been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. So he's in a tough place, but he's also writing to people that are going through a tough time. He's actually addressing issues at the Church of Philippi, issues of division, issues of disunity. There are some people that are trying to self-promote and they are elevating themselves. And there is all of this sort of stuff that he's having to deal with. And there are some things, there are words of wisdom that he is giving them. And I really believe that these are applicable to us, that regardless of what we might be going through, the situation we might find ourselves in, I believe that the Apostle Paul's words can actually help us. They could equip us. And on that note, I just want to have a read of a scripture that the Apostle Paul gives, and I would say that this is kind of like the centerpiece of the book of Philippians. You know, there is all this stuff that is happening around to him, but also to the church that he is writing to. And what he does is he just kind of centers it all back to Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 5. And this is Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 5, and it says this. And this is the Apostle Paul addressing the people at the Church of Philippi. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The title of this message is Armed for Adversity. Armed for Adversity. I believe that from this portion of scripture, there are several keys in here that the Apostle Paul is giving not just the church at that time, but this current church right now, this global church, our church, every single person that calls on the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that there are things that he has placed in here that will arm us, equip us, and enable us to overcome every single adversary and to be able to triumph through tough times, to be able to be victorious over every situation that we come against. And it's not because of us, but it's because of Christ here. And so on that note, I just want to talk to us about some things that we can arm ourselves with in order to face any adversary. You know, as Christians, the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we are not, our battle is not in the physical realm, but that our battle is in the spiritual realm. And therefore, we have these weapons that are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So God equips us with certain things. And I just want to have a look at that right now. So in verse 6 and 7, it says this, talking about Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So talking about Jesus here, and that term there is it's kind of an unusual term where it says he did not consider it robbery. And that word there, robbery, in the original language talks about the grasping, the snatching, like a robber would. And so what it's saying here is that even though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not try and snatch equality with God. He wasn't trying to grasp that. But watch what he does. He actually strips himself of that. He strips himself of his divine privileges and he takes on another form. And it's not just the form of a servant. It's not just the form of a man. It's the form of a bond servant. Now, a bond servant is the servant of servants. This is, you don't get any lower on the pecking order here in terms of at the time, you know, in that day. And so the Apostle Paul is telling us here that Jesus Christ, although he has the name that is above every name, but he chose to strip away his divine privileges and he took on the form of a bondservant. And so I believe that the very first thing as believers that we can arm ourselves with is to arm ourselves with our correct identity, our correct identity. Jesus here, even though his identity is God, but he takes on the identity of a servant so that he can fulfill everything that God had given him. And you know, when God actually made man right at the beginning, when he made man, the Bible says that he made everything in creation with a word. Let there be light. Let the heavens separate from the land. Let there be waters. Everything he created with a word, except for mankind. When it came to mankind, the Bible says the language actually shifts. And he says that God drew near, he stoops down, and he forms man out of the dust of the earth. And he breathes into him the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul. So he doesn't just stand back and speak man to in existence, because that's what he could have easily done. He did that for the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that we see. But when it came to man, he drew near, he stooped down, and he formed man, and he breathed into him. And I honestly believe that he did that differently because he was demonstrating the true value of man, that mankind is the pinnacle of creation, that everything else was spoken of at a distance with a word, but with mankind, he knew that it warranted his hands-on approach. Aren't you glad that God the Father is a hands-on dad? Aren't you glad that even though we might be social distancing, but God doesn't do social distancing? James actually tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so we have this beautiful picture of mankind's value and our intrinsic value. And it's continued throughout scripture that God is constantly highlighting our value is in our identity. It's not in our ability. Actually, when Jesus first starts off his ministry, as you would know, he comes down to the River Jordan and John the Baptist is baptizing people. And it says that Jesus too went forward. And as he went under and as he came up from the water, the Bible says that the heavens parted. A voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased with." God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon him in the form of a dove. Notice that God is identifying him before he does anything. Now, this whole scene would make a whole lot more sense to me if this happened right at the end of Jesus' ministry, because Jesus has done a whole bunch of healings, a whole bunch of miracles, a whole bunch of preaching. But even before Jesus has done a single thing, God identifies him. He says, "This is my Son," and he approves him, and he says, "I'm well pleased with you." This tells me that my worth and my identity is not based on anything I do. That for God, God is saying to us that our value as believers, as people, is in our identity. And our identity is in Christ. I don't know if you've seen this classic of a movie called The Lion King. It is one of my favorites. It's kind of like a modern day parable. If you've seen it, I'm not talking about the remake that came out a little while ago. I'm talking about the original animation, which I reckon is much better. But the story is told of Simba, the young lion, whose father Mufasa is the king. And Simba loses his way and by a series of terrible events, and he finds himself out far from home in the land of Hakuna Matata. And you all know the song. It means no worries. Okay, I'm not going to sing it this time. But he finds himself here, and while he's here, he hooks up with some friends, and he's doing everything that lions don't do. I mean, his diet changes, his focus changes, his priority changes. But unbeknownst to him, that all the way back home, it has gotten so bad that lions have actually started going beyond the normal boundaries to find food. And his childhood friend, Nala, finds him in this place, and they reunite. And she tells him how terrible things are back home. She tells him the devastation and all of that. And there is this scene where Simba just, he just looks at her and he slinks away. And she says, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" Because it's like he doesn't care. I'll tell you what happened to him. He loses his identity. And when he loses his identity, he loses his will to fight. There is that powerful scene where, you know, he's standing in the water and he sees his reflection. And then all of a sudden the heavens part and there's a voice from the heavens and it says, "Simba, you are my son. You have forgotten me." And so I don't know where Disney got that from, a son standing in water, the heavens part, the voice of the father comes down. It sounds familiar, but I don't know where Disney ripped that off from. But it's quite powerful because as soon as Simba realizes his identity and his identity is restored, at that exact moment, he heads back home. And I want to tell every single believer that our will to fight comes from our identity. Knowing who we are enables us and empowers us to fight the good fight of faith. Those were the Apostle Paul's words at the end of his life in 2 Timothy. He says, "I've run my race, I've finished the course, I have fought the good fight of faith." And he says, you know, because he understood who he was, our identity allows us. And so if you are going into any sort of adversarial circumstance, whatever the issue is, whether it's at home in isolation, whether it's out, your job, maybe you're working online, maybe it's issues in your family, in your marriage, with your kids, whatever the situation is, I want to tell you that when you arm yourself with the correct identity, you will be able to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. The second thing that I believe that we need to arm ourselves with in order to face any adversary comes from verse 8. It says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So Jesus comes and he's in the appearance of a man, and the Bible says that he humbles himself. He humbles himself. So after we arm ourselves with our correct identity, I believe that the second thing we need to arm ourselves with is Christ-like humility. Christ-like humility. Humility is one of those words that in our present culture, it's not something that is kind of seen as something to aspire to. You know, in this age of social media influences and self-promotion and putting yourself out there to impact, the whole idea of humility is a really distant one. But I want to tell you that humility is one of the most powerful things that each Christian, that we can live out, that we can have. And here's the thing, here's the flow on. When you actually know who you are in Christ, when your identity is settled, you're able to live with humility. When your identity is settled, you can be humble. And I'm talking about genuine humility. You don't have a point to prove. You're not trying to promote yourself above someone else. You know, we're not living out this, you know, the world's motto of dog eat dog, you know, this dog eat dog world. And, you know, it's all about me and let me get mine and all of this. When we live this out, We can actually put others in front of ourselves. And the Apostle Paul is talking about Christ's humility here because there is a lack of it in the people that he is addressing. Because there is this division and disunity as people try and promote themselves and try and elevate themselves above their neighbors. There's this powerful story of a man who witnessed something quite powerful when he had gone away, to meditate in the mountains, and he was isolating at the time, and he witnessed something, and on the side of a mountain, really high up, there was a very, very thin ledge. It was a very, very narrow ledge, and what he saw caught his attention because there was a mountain goat that was coming from one side of the mountain, but there was also another mountain goat that was coming from the other side. Now, usually when these types of key goats, these male goats, when they sort of come in contact with each other, they tend to butt heads. So you know the ones I'm talking about with the big rams. But what was happening here was there was barely enough room for them to actually, for themselves to fit on the ledge. And they were walking very slowly and very cautiously. And this man wondered what would happen when they got together, because if it was out in the open field, it would be on. But to his shock, as they came to pass, there was no way that they could pass by each other on the side because they would fall to their death. And so what he saw shocked him as the descending male goat actually laid down flat. And as he laid down flat, the goat that was coming up was able to walk over him, and then they were both able to get up and pass by. Humility is not an act of weakness. Humility is an act of strength. It is an act of power. If they were both filled with pride and butted heads, both of them would have been doomed to their destruction. And for so many of us, there is this unwillingness at times to do what that wise goat did, and that is to lay down flat so that others can get by. This is what Jesus did. Jesus is our role model in this. And the Bible says that he who had all the privilege, all the power, he actually chose to empty himself. He actually chose to empty himself. And as a result, he was eventually exalted to the most high place. You know, one of the actual title that the devil has, the name that is given to him, is Satan. And Satan, we have all sorts of images when we hear that maybe it's a red outfit with horns and a pitchfork. But if you actually look at that word Satan, it literally means adversary. So it means opposer, the accuser of the brethren, someone who is constantly resisting the works and the purposes and the people of God. That's actually just what Satan means. And in the book of Isaiah the prophet is recounting an incredible scene about how Satan actually fell from heaven. And there are a number of these statements that Satan himself, before he had fallen, whilst he was the archangel, and the Bible says that he was beautiful and he was powerful, and he is saying these statements, and they all start with I. He says, I will ascend to the mountain of God. I will place my throne above him. I will place my, it is I. And then Jesus says in the Gospels, I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. So this whole promotion and elevating ourselves and all of this, it can only end badly. And we look at the comparison here with what Satan does and then what Jesus does. Jesus comes as a servant, and as a result of that, he is elevated. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, Peter says to us, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. When he says that God gives grace to the humble, Grace is not just talking about unmerited favor, but this is enabling power. That God actually, when you humble yourself, you actually are arming yourself to better face any adversary, any issue, any challenge, any troubling times, but it comes from a place of adversity. And finally, it says in verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So in order to arm ourselves for adversity, we've got to arm ourselves with our correct identity, and our identity is in Christ. And then we've got to arm ourselves with Christ-like humility, that enabling power that enables us to face any situation, any challenge. But the final thing here, I believe, is that we arm ourselves with God-given authority. We arm ourselves with God-given authority. Now, Christ here, this is talking about Christ. Christ was given all authority. He was given all authority after the death and burial. At his resurrection, he says to his disciples, all authority has been given unto me. Therefore go. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because he has all authority, he has imparted to us a authority to live out as true believers, to live out as his children. And that all comes as a result of his authority. You know, in the Bible, when Jesus is spending time in the wilderness, and it says that he's out there 40 days, 40 nights, and he is fasting, and the enemy comes and he is tempting him, one temptation after another. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. There is this one temptation that he gives, and the Bible says that he takes him up to the pinnacle of Jerusalem, the temple, and he says, and he flashes before him all of these kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the earth, he flashes before him. And the devil says this, he says, bow down and worship me, and I will give you these kingdoms because they have been delivered unto me, and I choose whoever I could give them to. So when the devil is actually saying that, he's not lying. Jesus doesn't correct him. He doesn't come up with a rebuttal. Because of what happened at the fall in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve gave up certain authority. They gave up the rights. And the Bible then says that the devil became the god of this age, small g, that he has certain authority. But watch what happens. In the tomb of Jesus, according to John's account, in the tomb of Jesus, when they come and they have a look, there are two pieces of items that are remain there. There are the linen wraps that had wrapped Jesus' body, and they were just left there. But there was also a head cloth, and this head cloth was neatly folded up, and it was placed there. And, you know, I've read scholars and commentaries talking about all sorts of reason why, you know, Jesus took the time to fold the head cloth but left the body strips of cloth. But I just want to submit to you something in light of this whole idea of authority. And, you know, in the Bible, headship always talks about leadership. You know, it says of the family unit, husbands ahead of their wives, but Christ is ahead of the husband. Christ is ahead of the family. And if you recall the story of David and Goliath, when David killed Goliath, and the Bible says he took Goliath's sword and he severed his head from his shoulders, David actually takes the head of the giant back to Jerusalem. Now, that looks barbaric. It might seem, you know, just absolutely disgusting. David wasn't doing that for no reason, because in the culture of the day, headship represented authority. So David was saying, I have taken away the authority from the enemies of the nation of Israel. That's why he took his head back. And so watch what's happening here in the tomb. The head cloth is folded up because Jesus says, I've settled the issue of authority. I have settled it all authority is now mine. But the issue of what had wrapped the body of Christ was still left there. And I want to ask you, church, who is the body of Christ? That's right, it's you and I. We are the body of Christ. So Jesus is saying, I'm going away, but I will come back. And I'm not coming back for authority. I've already settled that. All authority is mine. But I am coming back for my body. I am coming back for my church. That's why I have left that untended to. Because there is going to be a day when Jesus Christ himself comes back as the conquering king. He may have originally come as a suffering servant, but he will come back as the conquering king. And the Bible talks about that throughout. And there is this beautiful scene in Scripture in the book of Revelations where it says every nation, every tribe, every tongue are worshiping him because he has all authority. And because he has all authority, he has given us the authority to be able to face any situation, whether it's spiritual or physical. Luke 10 verse 19 says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. He's not talking about the animals. He's actually talking about demonic powers. He's talking about demonic spirits. Jesus is saying, I've actually given you authority. The verse just prior to that, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So the enemy is a defeated foe. But because Christ has all authority, he is now arming us with the authority to overcome any situation, to overcome any obstacle, to overcome any hardship, any difficulty, any adversary that we face, because he has all authority. He has given us authority. And you know, this is kind of like the pinnacle, the climax, this whole passage of Scripture when it is declaring that Jesus has a name that is above every name. That the name of Jesus is actually elevated above any other name. And so COVID-19 might be a name, but the name of Jesus is elevated above it. Cancer might be a name, but the name of Jesus is high and lifted up over it. Chronic fatigue, type 2 diabetes, depression, mental anxiety, anguish, whatever your issue, whatever the issue is that you might be fighting against right now, I want to remind you that the name of Jesus is above every other name. That means that when we declare things in the name of Jesus, that thing must bow down. Jesus spoke to storms and he slayed them in their tracks. And he tells us, speak to the mountain. Don't try and climb or move the mountain. You speak to it and it will move, because he has given us all authority. And that final scene in Revelation, as I mentioned before, and they are all worshiping him. I like to think that as the name of Jesus is lifted up, all tongues, every single nation is declaring what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is Lord. That every knee is bowing and every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord over every situation, over every obstacle, over these challenging times right now. What's happening in you internally, as well as what's happening around you externally. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord in every tongue, in every tribe, in every nation, in every generation. Jesus Christ is Lord. So every knee will bow and every tongue confess, Jesucristo es el Señor. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christus is here. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesucristo ni buena. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Yesu Jidu Shidu. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christos Gospod.
Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Gesù Cristo è il Signore. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Così su calaisi, goe eiki. His name is above every name, and every single person, every tribe, tongue, every nation, every generation, past, present, and future, will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Just as we close, I just want to remind us of our value, that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I remember a time when my son and I were playing cricket, and I hit the ball and it got lost in a whole bunch of bushland. And we searched for a time, but we couldn't find it. And so after a while, my son came back himself and he says, "Dad, I didn't find the ball, but I found this." And what he was holding up, I couldn't quite make out because it was covered in mulch and dirt, and I could just see little bits of red. But what he was holding up was a $20 bill. And I said to him, "That's awesome, son. You can go buy a bunch of those balls that you lost." And he said to me something quite powerful. He said to me, "Yeah, but is it still valuable?" And it was at that moment I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me that there are so many people that are feeling buried under disappointment, under shame, under the guilt of their past. They're dirty from abuse and past negative experiences. But I want to tell you, just like that $20 bill, so it is for you, that it doesn't matter what has happened to it, it does not diminish the value, that you are created in the image of God, that you are oxygenated by the Spirit of God, that you are inhabited by the promises of God. And the promises for you are yes and amen. So whatever you are going through right now, I want to remind you, God is for you, He is with you, and He is arming us with these things, that these are weapons that we can utilize in any battle that we come against. And that is the identity in Christ, the humility, the Christ-like humility, and then the authority that is God given to us. And when we demonstrate and utilize all of those things, then we will truly be able to triumph through tough times. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for your people right now, Lord. I pray that you would touch every single person, Lord. I pray that this word would minister to them. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with them right now, wherever they are, that you are speaking to them, that you are touching them, that you are healing them, and you are restoring things that are broken in their lives. I thank you that you are the mender of broken hearts. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the lifter of our heads. And wherever you might be, and maybe this resonated with you, and maybe you are far from God right now. Maybe there was a time when you were a child, you attended Sunday school or youth group or whatever it is, but since then you've walked away. Or maybe you just happen to be channel surfing and you flicked across this. I want to tell you that God loves you. He sent His only Son to die in your place. And if you would pray this prayer, that God would invite you to come into His family and to spend eternity with Him. So if that's you, there is a button, if you are tuning through live.kings.org.au, that you can respond. But I just want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I repent of all of my sins. I thank you that you came and died in my place. And now I receive new life in your name. Amen. If you prayed that and you responded, please get in contact with us, whether you're watching this via YouTube or Facebook. Maybe you can put something in the comments, and we would love to follow up and just to let you know that the best is still to come, that it doesn't matter what has happened behind you, there is still great things ahead of you. So wherever you are, I just want to remind you that you are loved. God bless you. There is more for you in Jesus' name. Well, we're just going to continue with a bit of worship at this time. And so wherever you are, why don't you just continue in this time of worship with us, and then we're going to close in a minute.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.